بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. This is our 13th session on lesson 10 of the book Philosophical Instructions. The title is Necessity of Philosophy. So we want to see why should we study philosophy, and is it really necessary to study philosophy or not. The author starts with a beautiful example, an allegorical explanation. He says, suppose that there are a group of people who are traveling in the sea on a ship, and the people who are traveling, some are very busy with just the trip that they are making. They enjoy their trip and they don't bother themselves that much to think about the destination of this trip. So they are just negligent. But there are some people in the sea who at the same time that enjoy the trip and the beautiful sights that they see, at the same time they think about the trip. They say to themselves that where did we come from and where are we going to and how much we have actually passed and how much is left. So all these questions occupy their mind and they reflect on these questions, and also about the speed of the trip and whether they are really moving towards the destination that they are looking for, or they may have made mistakes in finding the appropriate direction. The same is true about inhabitants of the globe. We people who live on the earth, we are like those people who are traveling. We are in the process of moving from one departure point to a destination. You cannot fix the process of movement and the course of time. We are all moving. We are all changing. There are many, many things that we are losing. Most importantly, the time, the life that God has given to us is all passing by and we are losing them. This is why the Quran says that verily man is in loss. So if we are people of thought, if we are reflecting people, if we are people who contemplate about their destiny, so automatically many fundamental questions come to our mind. What was my origin? What will be my destination, my future, and what is my present situation? These are three important questions that come to the mind of every human being. My origin, my future, and my present state between these two. There's a beautiful hadith from Imam Ali which says, رحم الله امرأً عرف من عين وفي عين وإلى عين. May God's mercy be upon the one who knows where did he come from and where is he moving towards and the direction that he has taken. إلى عين means the future that he's moving towards the destination. Wafi ayn, and where is he now? So Allah's mercy may be upon the one who knows the answers to these three questions. Where did he come from? He knows his origins. He knows the future, the destination. Where is he moving toward? And the present situation. This is why in the Quran you see that the Islamic worldview is built upon these three important points about a proper knowledge of God as our originator. Inna lillah. We are all from God. We are all created by God. We should know this point about our creation. This is as our departure point. And we are all moving towards God, believers or disbelievers. All human beings are moving toward God. Ya ayyuha an-nas innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaghi. O people, you are all striving towards your Lord so that you meet him. This is also our destination. So we believe in the resurrection. We believe in the day of judgment, and we all will be presented to God the Almighty to judge about our actions. And then the present situation, the world in which we live, the life that we have, the opportunities that we have, the chance to choose between the good and the bad, between the right and the wrong, the guidance that we have through the teachings of the prophets and through the teachings of our intellect. So these are the things that every human being has in mind. And without finding proper answers for these questions, we will not feel any happy life. We will never feel happy. We will not have confidence and peace and rest. No human being can have peace in mind, can have rest in heart, unless he has proper answers for these questions. We may try to forget these questions. We may try to overlook these questions for a while, but they will definitely come and come, and there is no way to bypass them. So, the author, referring to some Quranic verses, wants to emphasize on the fact that every human being, every intelligent person has these important questions in his mind. And the way to come to proper solutions for these problems, proper answers for these questions, is to use our reason, to think, to reflect, to use philosophy. Even if we want to learn from religious sources, from religious scriptures, to be benefited by the revelation, we still need some amount of philosophy. As we said before, we need to prove the existence of God. We need to prove the truth of the revelation. And this is done by philosophy, or if you could call it by some form of intellectual science. So, a person who wants to have a really human life, not just having an animal life, wants to have a real human life, must be involved, must engage himself with some amount of philosophy. We are not saying that every person must study philosophy and have a degree in philosophy. No, That is a matter of personal interests and capacities and so on and so forth. But no one can forget thinking about these issues. You may not have any degree in philosophy, but you may still be a person who has philosophical mind, who thinks, who reflects, and who finds rational answers for his question. So there is no way to be indulgent in these important areas. Unfortunately, throughout the history, we see that the thirst for the truth have sometimes been misused by some people who themselves have not had the chance to find the truth and the reality. So they have expanded and extended their own wrong ideas to other people, to the masses. So in Arabic we say ذَلُّوا وَأَذَلُّوا. They went astray and they let other people and made other people also go astray. They were misled and they made other people also misled. This is something that we frequently find in the history of mankind. We also find cases in which sometimes people of goodwill may have thought that they are right, and because they were not endowed with divine guidance, they wanted to guide people, but they couldn't, and they misled them. There was no bad intention, but the result was the same. We can only rely on those people who are provided with the support and guidance of God the Almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two forms of proofs and guides. The external ones, which are prophets, which are immune, which are infallible, which are protected by God, and our reason. So there have been many schools of thought, many isms, that they have come and went, gone. But the only result was the loss of many golden opportunities for human beings. This ism may have occupied the mind of masses for many decades. Then afterwards, it proved to be false. Then another ism. So many, many golden opportunities have been lost, unfortunately. So what is the way? What is the proper way to find proper answers for our questions, to have proper meaning for our life, to live a human life in its full sense? And we mean by human life a life which is exclusive to human beings, a life which is not shared by animals. If we have a sort of life which is shared by animals, so this is not what we are created for. We are created for the exclusive aspects of our nature. This is a very important discussion. And inshallah we will have also some related discussions in philosophy, but it is also discussed in self-knowledge. That every human being is created by God the Almighty because of the exclusive characters of human beings. Otherwise, God could have created animals. God could have created cows or sheep or elephants instead of human beings. Why we are created as human beings? We are created as human beings for the difference that exists between us and other animals. And that is to be able to think, to reflect, to conclude, to find ways to get close to God, get nearer to God by our own free will. So, philosophy is very important in offering and presenting and introducing to us such a worldview in which we can have proper answers for our underlying lying and fundamental questions. You may say that there are other alternatives. Instead of using philosophical worldview, we may use scientific worldview, as Marxists claim. Or we may use religious or mystical worldview. The author says, first of all, we should know that scientific worldview is not something acceptable, because these questions are not scientific questions. And this is a fallacy to use the term science for philosophical inquiries, just because science is a term which is pleasant to the people of the modern age. And we said that Marxism is not a scientific school, if you remember in the past we had this discussion. And what about religious and mystical worldviews? The author says there is nothing wrong in religious worldview or mystical worldview. We can have proper and acceptable religious worldviews or mystical worldviews. But there are many claims, there are many religious ideas, there are many people who have had some mystical experiences, but they guide us and direct us towards different destinations. How can we make a clear distinction between false religions, false prophets, and true ones? Between genuine mystical visions and insights and illusions? It is through philosophy. How can we prove the existence of God so that we can be benefited by religious worldviews? It is by philosophical sciences, by intellectual sciences. So we need philosophy. So philosophy is very necessary in finding answers for our fundamental questions and in giving us secrets of human life. Then there are some questions. First question is about the possibility of having alternative worldviews. And as we said, there is no way to omit, to delete philosophy and intellectual sciences completely. Yes, you can come some way with philosophers, and then having proved the religion, you can go forward with the religious guidance. But all religions presuppose, all divine religions presuppose some rational efforts. Especially in Islam, there have been very great emphasis put on thinking, reflecting, contemplation, and those who do not reflect on the signs of God are very severely blamed. The second question is, it's true that we need to find answers for our questions, but the person who has this question in mind says that, but we don't have that much hope for finding answers. We see that for centuries many people have come and discussed about philosophical issues, many books have been written, many commentaries, but not any single problem in philosophy has been accepted by all philosophers. Still, you have controversies. So we don't have that much hope in finding answers through philosophy. This is the second question or objection. The author says, although there are controversies, although there are differences of ideas, but this does not mean that there is no hope. We have great hope, and you see that we have actually learned many things through philosophy. The situation of a person like Ibn Sina or Mullah Sadra or other great philosophers in understanding Islam, in understanding the Quran, in understanding the real meaning of human life is not like those who do not know philosophy. They have benefited a lot. So we have hope. And controversies exist in other areas of studies. In many, many sciences you have these controversies. But this does not mean that we should just keep indifferent. Secondly, whenever there is a very important and very crucial ideal, a sacred ideal, a holy ideal, even if the probability of reaching that ideal is not that much high, still you have to work. In other words, to decide whether we should pursue some ideal, we should not just think about the amount of probability. We must also take into account the significance of the probable. If, for example, people tell me that if you go, for example, to another city and, for example, make 40 kilometers journey, you will earn, for example, $10. And that is for sure, 100%. I know that I will gain one prize of $10 for 40 kilometers. I will never go. Although there is high probability, even there is certainty, 100%, I don't go. Why? Because the thing which is probable, like for example 99% or even certain, is not that much important for me. But if I am ill, or someone who is dear to me is ill, and they tell me that if you go to a long distance, 1,000 kilometers away, there is a doctor who 50% will cure you, you will go. Sometimes if there is no other way, there is no other alternative, even if the probability is very little, just few percentage, sometimes even 1%, it's enough to awaken our emotions and to make us determined. So we should take into account the significance of the probable and not just the amount of probability. And in this case, I mean, in the case of finding answers for our questions, for finding meaning for our life, for being a human being, a real human, the probable is very important and is unavoidable, so we should make our efforts, we should do our best, and we should not be worried about the possibility of not gaining something. The third question is, how can we be happy with philosophy while there have been some scholars who were against philosophy, and there have been some hadith against philosophy? The author says, those who have been against philosophy are not all the same. Some people may be against philosophy because of their own personal interests and the like. But we accept that there were people, there have been people of good intention, people of faith, who were against philosophy, among theologians, among jurists, among narrationists. In Islam, we had people who were against philosophy. The same is true about other religions. But this does not mean that philosophy is false, is invalid. Because if you want to see if something is valid or not, you should study it itself. The view of the people does not change the reality. If all people praise something, it doesn't mean that must be valid, that must be okay. And if all people blame, that is not a proof for the wrongness of that. There have been some people who were against philosophy, and there have been many people who were in favor of philosophy. And those who were against philosophy mostly were against the philosophical ideas of their age, because the philosophers of that age had some ideas which were not pleasing those people, so they were against them. So in a sense, they were not against philosophy, they were against those philosophers. And this is why, to refute those philosophers, they themselves had to involve themselves in philosophy. So you see that, for example, sometimes these theologians present philosophical ideas to refute the ideas of philosophers. Indeed, you cannot refute philosophy except by philosophy. So you are practically endorsing philosophy. And we don't have any hadith, any tradition against philosophy as such. Indeed, there are many recommendations about the intellectual sciences. Yes, there may be some hadith about the necessity of putting some limit in intellectual studies for some groups of people who have not that much capacity. Some people were asked not to get involved in, for example, theology or in theological discussions about God and the essence of God and so on. But at the same time, we see that many people were recommended to do that, and great theologians were brought up and trained in the Islamic world. And the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were training also some theologians. The fourth objection or question is, if, as you say, intellectual arguments are used, philosophical arguments are used in the Quran and in the Sunnah, so why do we need philosophy? You say that philosophy is already presented in the Quran and Sunnah, so why should we study philosophy? The author says that although philosophical ideas are presented in the Quran and Sunnah, but this does not change the realities. If there is a philosophical argument in the Quran, it's a philosophical argument. And the philosophical argument can be studied philosophically. For example, the Quran says about those who disbelieve in God. The Quran says, have they been created out of nothing, or they are themselves creators? خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون. خلقوا من غير شيء is a question. Are they created out of nothing? أم هم الخالقون, or they are created, but they themselves have created themselves. None of these two possibilities work. None of them works. We cannot be created out of nothing without any creator. Yes, God can create the world out of nothing, but God is there. But to say that there is nothing to create us, or to say that we are creating ourselves, is not possible. This is a very important and very sound and valid philosophical argument. And even if it is explained in the Quran, it doesn't change the nature of this. This is a philosophical argument. And this shows that philosophy is accepted. So, if you want to argue for the existence of God and to convince someone who does not believe in God, you must use this philosophical argument. You cannot say to that person who is atheist that believe in God because we have some verse in the Quran which says that God exists. So we need to discuss and convince that person philosophically. The other question is regarding the disagreements that exist between philosophers themselves. So some people may say, because philosophers themselves disagree with each other, So we have no confidence in what they say. And the author says that, as we said before about controversies in general, this is something that does not refute, that does not disprove the need for philosophy. Like any other fields of study, people may disagree, but instead of rejecting all ideas, we have to increase our efforts to see which party is telling the truth, which party is right in his ideas or in its ideas. So the controversies among philosophers should encourage us to study philosophy properly, better than other people, to come to better conclusions. Exactly the same thing which is done by the scientists in the empirical sciences. And the last question is that we see there have been some philosophers, maybe some famous people, well-known scholars, that have not had a real human life. They were not moral people, they were not pious people, they were not spiritual people. Maybe their lives were just as like lives of ordinary people, ignorant people. So, what is the benefit of learning philosophy? The author says we should distinguish between necessary condition and sufficient condition. When we say that philosophy is necessary for having a human life, it means that it's a necessary condition. But it doesn't mean that it's sufficient. So you need more conditions to be fulfilled, more requirements to be fulfilled. You need philosophy and you need to practice the ideas that you have reached through philosophy. It's like religion. Religion is very important and necessary for our happiness, for salvation. But is it enough? Is it sufficient just to believe in God, believe in Islam without practicing that? No. We must believe and we must practice. So if someone just believes and doesn't practice, this is not sufficient. But this does not mean that there is no value in beliefs. No, beliefs are important, beliefs are necessary, but they are not sufficient. Philosophy is the same. Philosophy is important, philosophy is necessary. But philosophy by itself does not guarantee our happiness. It's a necessary condition, and we should try to have other also conditions fulfilled. So in the end of this lesson, which is indeed end of the first part of the book, because these 10 lessons were related and linked to each other, we can have some idea about the need and the necessity that we things exist in relation to philosophy. Philosophy is necessary for us. It's not something just to occupy our time. It's not just something to obtain some degrees, to obtain some certificates, to, for example, get famous because people respect philosophers. No, it's very serious idea. It's something that we need for our happiness. It's something that we religious people must appreciate more than those people who are not religious, because we religious people are people who take the fundamental questions of life more seriously than other people. We are people who are always concerned with our relation with the whole world of being, with the whole existence, with our Creator. So this is very important for us to